Now that we are several weeks removed from Easter, removed from the joy and celebration that is just intrinsic in that moment, we're reminded that it can be difficult to take Easter with us. That just several weeks ago, those alleluias were on the very tip of our tongue. But now, it feels as if Easter was so long ago. That it is, as Fred Craddock describes, like carrying water in a basket. That we leave the joy of Easter morning with this basket full of water, and then we start to go about our everyday lives, and before we know it, we look down, and it feels as if all the water has drained out. That as hard as we try, we cannot take those fleeting moments of seeing the Christ after the resurrection by simply putting it in our back pockets. That the glory of Easter is always interrupted by our everyday lives, perhaps no more than now. That the alarm clock goes off and we didn't hear it, or we hit snooze too many times and now we're scrambling to get to work late for the second day that week. Or we forget to call our mom back yet again and now it's Mother's Day. Or we can't get that Zoom call to work properly, or we get in the elevator and it stops on every single floor. That in the midst of life, it's easy to lose sight of our Easter alleluia. It's why the psalmist speaks up and speaks out, saying, "In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever to be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me." It is a prayer for us to say anytime we have lost sight of our alleluia. That the Psalms have long been the prayer book of the church. They have been prayed throughout the centuries in all types of circumstances. That they allow us to speak of our anguish or grief, or to celebrate our joy and hope. That they help connect us to God no matter what we are experiencing, even in the face of turmoil. I remember years ago going on an overnight campout. We had done everything we were supposed to do to prepare. We had left at the right time. We had gone down the checklist to take everything that was necessary. We got there in plenty of time where there was still enough light to do everything you need to do. We had collected firewood. We had started a campfire. We had cooked dinner. We had enjoyed s'mores. We had told stories. We set up our tarp for the night. Later that night, though, it started to rain, which was not in our checklist of preparation. And I was not really experienced when it came to camping, so I quickly learned that anytime you set up your tarp, you really need to take into account the slope of the ground. Because if it rains, the water will run downhill. And laying there that night, wet and awake, we kept asking ourselves, will this night ever end? And any time, in any moment or season of life where we find ourselves asking that very question, we have to seek out what matters the most and find refuge in it. That it helps us regain our alleluia. For at the very core of the Psalms is celebration, that they help us to speak of all of our emotions, of our anguish or grief, but they are constantly, gently urging us towards thanksgiving. But as Thomas Merton points out, praise is rather cheap today. That we praise everything from mouthwash to movie stars. As Merton asks, are there any superlatives left for God? That perhaps that's one reason we can lose sight of our alleluia. So Psalm 31 speaks up and speaks out saying, you are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden from me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord. Faithful God, that it helps us to regain our alleluia. And in the book of Acts, we find the early church desperately in need of an alleluia. That in chapter 7, before the stoning of Stephen, he is trying to defend himself against those that are critical of him, saying that he is somehow coloring outside the lines of a life of faith. And as he tries to defend himself, he opens up the pages of Scripture. He starts to talk about all of the stories that we find there, like putting up Bible characters on the felt board of Vacation Bible School. He says, here is Abraham and Sarah. They were called to leave the place that they had known for so long, to venture out to a new place, which is what we call faith. And then there's Joseph, who was turned over by his brothers into slavery, that lying there at the depths of that hole with darkness around him and then taken away to a place of fear in Egypt from everything that he knew, that God went with him and helped pull him out of harm's way. And then there was Moses. Moses had fled his past, having done things and seen things that horrified him. But there, out as he was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, God called him back because God had heard the cries of the people in slavery, and Moses must go and tell Pharaoh to let them free. That Stephen is trying over and over again to point out that God does not stay in one place, that God is always on the move. Stephen even tries to tell the high priest that God's not only found in the temple, but also out there throughout the world. That this is why the book of Acts ends the way that it does, with such beauty and such courage, that Paul is in Rome and he's teaching others about what God is up to, bringing Jew and Gentile together, widening the circle of God's love. It says he is proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the ways of Jesus without hindrance. That's how the book of Acts ends, that the steadfast love of God is moving throughout this world without hindrance, crossing boundaries and overcoming walls, which means we do not have to take Easter with us, that Easter is always out there in front of us. That it is not stuck back there in the past. In searching for Easter out in front of us, we might recall Palm Sunday, where Easter is just on the horizon. And on Palm Sunday this year, our good friend, Liam Ledbetter Dunn, was in the hospital in Birmingham receiving chemotherapy treatments that he was sheltering in place, as he had done long before the rest of us were used to it, because those treatments compromised his immune system. And Liam and his parents gave me permission to share this story, that on Palm Sunday this year, we had just started live streaming worship. And Liam was looking forward to being able to see the worship service, to participate in it as he was there in the hospital, particularly because it was Palm Sunday. And every year on Palm Sunday in this place, the children of the church process down this center aisle, waving palm fronds high in the air. So that week, Liam had made his palm fronds out of construction paper. And when worship started that morning and the organ started to play and rise in what it was singing, Liam was processing around his hospital room, marching around his hospital bed, waving his palm fronds high in the air, that you could hear the Easter chorus starting to warm up its alleluias. Well, several nurses heard about Liam's palm processional, that it touched them, that it awakened something inside of them. So later that day, as he was peering out the window of his room that looks over across the street at the parking deck next to the hospital, he saw three or four nurses standing there on the rooftop, waving big green pieces of construction paper in the air. That they had joined the processional of Palm Sunday because they realized Easter was out in front of them, that it was their alleluia, that Easter is always out in front of us because God is our rock and our refuge, which is where we rediscover our alleluia. It is one reason that every Lord's Day we begin worship by lighting the Christ candle. That it's one of the first things that we do, because whether we are distracted by the mundane or weighed down by the tragic, it reminds us that the light of Christ is still burning out there in front of us. That it is shining throughout this world without hindrance. That God is always on the move. It is like the love of a mother or any devoted parent. It finds us wherever we are. It comforts us when we are sad. It sits with us when we are recovering. It stays with us no matter how long we need it. And then it urges us to get back up after we have fallen down. It is a relentless love. It is the grit of grace. In every time we experience it, all we can do is sing Alleluia yet again. Amen.